We thank the Lord for all the good music this morning that you're singing, and Vicky sang, and Michaela played with Fred and Sarah and Dave and Joanne. Thank you all in the choir helping us praise God today. And thank God for all those who helped the decorations get all set and looking nice for the Christmas season. Reminds us of Christ's love for us for sure. You might have a lot of decorations in your home on the outside, or we do a little bit on the inside. We don't do the outdoor decorations much because I tend to fall off ladders if I try to get on them. But we turn our porch light on. And people will think, why do they have their porch light on? Must be Christmas time. That's a blessing. Thank you, too, for listening to the Lord to come to worship and ignoring the weatherman as he was threatening some big ice things that maybe came a little bit early. We're glad for that, that you're here. Shortly before Christ was born, the angel made the announcements, give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And boy, every day we're in need of experiencing Christ as Savior. We have a lot of things that need straightened out in our hearts. We stand in the need of forgiveness on a daily basis. One particular sin that's pretty universal, that's hit almost every person I know and hit my heart off and on, is this. And the question is, can Jesus save me from this sin? It is the sin of unforgiveness, or the sin of an unforgiving heart. And all of us are susceptible to that. And would Christ come and make a change in that pattern that sometimes you and I have? Can Jesus save us from the sin of an unforgiving spirit? If you ask yourself the question, who in your past have you had a hard time forgiving? You know, what people, what names and faces? And all of a sudden, when I ask myself that question, the closet doors open in my mind and my memory, and all of a sudden they come rushing to the forefront. And I have to say, how do I think of those folks? Do I say, I want the forgiveness of Christ passed to them, and I'm living in forgiveness? Or do I say, wow, I still want to get back? Or there's still hurt and pain there that I don't know what to do with, and I need God's intervention. So that's something God wants to touch our lives about around Christmas time, I believe. Brings people together, brings people to Christ. Peter must have had a hard time forgiving people as an apostle. And Jesus had just finished teaching about forgiveness in Matthew 18. And maybe Peter had the attitude that sometime we religious folk have. Lord, that's enough about this forgiveness and mercy stuff. You know, can't you throw a few lightning bolts down on the sinners around us, particularly the sinners who have hurt us, especially? Watch when you pray for lightning bolts to come. They may be coming on you. And so Peter asked the question, how many times do I have to do this? I don't know if that was his tone. That is my tone sometimes when I'm asking the Lord about forgiving. How many times do I have to do this? Seven times? Peter thought he was being generous. Back then, if the Pharisees taught if you forgave somebody three times, you were really godly. We would all qualify as being godly today, just by those Pharisaical things. And Jesus said, no, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times. In other words, Peter, if you're still counting how many times you forgave somebody, maybe you never forgave them the first time. Because God's love is such a thing that doesn't keep any record of wrongs. Each new experience is new to be taken with the love of Christ. Peter, don't stack up the sins of others that are against you, because you'll be weighed down by that. And so Jesus tells Peter a story, and the others a story. He says, a king wanted to settle accounts with folks. That's a day of accounting that we'll have before God. And so one person comes up, one servant, and he owes the king 10,000 talents. I don't know what a talent is. I had to look it up. Supposedly a talent back then was between 50 and 80 pounds of gold. And that's a huge amount of money. Multiply that by 10,000 times. A massive debt that this fella had. And there's no way he's going to pay it off. If he goes to debtor's prison, he's in there 10 life sentences. And when Jesus told that story, he said that the king would say, "You, if you don't pay that, you go to jail plus your wife and your children." And I think that just in a side application, that really speaks to the fact that if I'm not at peace with God, and if I haven't embraced the forgiveness of sins for my heart, that will affect the people around me. That'll affect my wife. That'll affect, you know, everybody else. Just that need in your life, where you're at, to be at peace with God. It'll help others in addition to helping you. But the master had compassion on this guy who's in big time debt. The man said, "Please have pity on me. Be patient. I'll pay it back." The master said, "You can't pay it back. I'm gonna cancel the debt. And I'll absorb that loss in me." That was a costly thing for him to do. "You are free. I don't hold this against you." The servant goes out. He finds a fellow servant. And that fellow servant owed him 100 denarii, which was about 10 bucks in terms of the comparison. And he grabbed his fellow servant and said, "Pay me back." Fellow servant did the same thing. "Please be patient. I'll pay you back." And the first servant said, "No, you pay. You pay me." He couldn't pay. Has him and his family thrown into prison. And the Bible says his fellow servants were distressed when they heard that happen, that had happened. Adrian Rogers, a Baptist preacher, once said that when a Christian doesn't forgive, it distresses the church. The servants get greatly distressed. I know in my life, when I have an unforgiving spirit, it will affect not just the guy who I'm miffed at, but it will affect how I treat everybody else. I can love 100 people and be against one, and I won't be able to love the 100 because I'm not at peace about the one that has been very difficult. Also, I've known people who have been invited to different events, whether church events or school events, and they could really love the event. They could love the majority of people who are there, 500 people, that I love the 500 who are there. But and sometimes if they haven't forgiven one or two who are also going to be there, you know what will happen? They'll say, "I'm not going. I'm not going." It causes great distress. And some of that speaks of the power of that sin that's not dealt with. It could really block off the love of God and the experience of loving others that Christ really wants us to have. So it's quite a personal thing. It's a painful thing. It often takes us a process with God's help to say, with Christ's help, I will practice forgiveness. Unforgiveness distresses the hurt, our church. Roger says it disgraces God. He's not known at that point. It disgusts the lost, because lost people say, we want to hear some gospel coming from the church, and it delights the devil. So it's not nobody wins when you and I have an unforgiving spirit. The distressed servants go tell the master. And the master is very disturbed about this. He said, "You wicked servant." So God takes that sin of unforgiveness seriously. It's almost, at times, it becomes worse than the wrong that was against you in the first place. "You wicked servant, I canceled your debt. Should you not have had mercy also on your fellow servant?" That's just a question to ask your heart as you think of people that at times you're slow to forgive. You're working on it. Maybe that's yourself. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow servant like the master has had? The unforgiving servant, then he goes off to jail. He remains in his guilt. If you feel guilt in your life, sometimes that's a signal that you're still trying to pay back God for something you can never pay for. Maybe it's an unforgiving spirit. Maybe it's other sins. "I feel guilty. Lord, I'll make it up to you. I got to pay you back." God says, "There's no way you're going to do it. I'm going to cancel the debt." If you won't forgive another, it often means that we're in the prison of not knowing the forgiveness of God, nor being able to pass that on. That's a pretty powerful thing. When you don't accept God's mercy, you become an unmerciful person. The only thing worse than being around a person who's unmerciful is being unmerciful yourself. It is a miserable feeling. I'm sure we've had it. And that's the wages of sin, is that spiritual death. But a great indication of really knowing the forgiveness of Christ, the power and sweetness of that, is that we become forgiving people. I want to be around forgiving people. And people around us every day, they want to see, is there forgiving people out there? It is true when Christ gets a hold of a heart. If you and I are like Peter, we say, Lord, how many times do I have to do this? I really have a hard time with this. I still remember the pain of different sins that came against us. We can cry out to God and He will help us. He'll meet us where we're at. God, through His love, there's a promise in Philippians chapter 2 that I think applies to all our obedience, but especially the ability to forgive, where God says, God works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. When it comes to forgiving, God works in you to desire. Suddenly you have a desire to forgive people. It's almost like if any wrong happens, I can't wait to be the first one to forgive. God works in you to give you the will, the desire, and then the action. Yes, I will. I will take action in my heart. Forgiveness is really an act of one, you and God working in hand to pass on a freedom for your own heart and a freedom for the other person. And it's really a miracle of grace. We as Christians, we do have a hard time with this universal sin. It besets us as much as somebody who is an atheist or doesn't know Christ. But Christ, good news and presence is powerful enough to change our hearts, make us forgiving people, because we've received so much from Him. If you're in the need of a miracle of that grace, God can help you. And in any individual life, there's such deep hurt often and disappointment because of the sin of others that really God would like to touch that area in your life. Just tell you a story that might help with your motivation to forgive. A man's driving out of his driveway, backing out. He backs out into his neighbor's lawn and runs over their pet turtle. And it's difficult because the family really loved the pet turtle. And so the gal comes out and says, look what you did. You cannot undo what you just did. The man said, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? I can't forgive you. Look at this pain we are now in. He says, I'll tell you what, I don't know what to do. I feel so bad about it. I've just received a huge inheritance from one of my family members. And I'm going to write you out a check for $50,000. And I'm going to give this to you. Would you forgive me? I give you this gift of $50,000. The lady thinks for a little bit. Well, yeah, I think I can bring myself to that for $50,000. I can buy a lot of turtles for $50,000. Matter of fact. And he says, well, here it is, $50,000. And by the way, we're talking here. Do you sometimes have a problem forgiving others? Yes, I do, she said. There's a neighbor. She called me a name the other day, and I just want to get her back in some manner. I'll tell you what. I'm going to write you a check for $100,000. I give you $100,000. Would you forgive her for $100,000? I think I've decided. I'm going to let her off the hook for this $100,000. I feel much better now. And any other areas in your life you need to practice that forgiveness? Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, people in the past had a teacher who was really mean to me, and one of my uncles was just horrible. And people in the church, I got stabbed in the back the other day. The man says, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna write you a check for $10 million. $10 million to cover any present unforgiveness you have to forgive, and also to just forgive people freely in the future, just like I'm freely giving you this gift of $10 million. Will you forgive them? She says, suddenly, I am the most forgiving person in the world. I forgive everybody, she says. And when Jesus came, give us hope, bright future with Him, and the cradle and forgiveness of sins at the cross. He didn't just say, here's $50,000 to forgive somebody. Here's $10 million. heaven was bankrupted, totally bankrupted. The best that God could give, the very person of Christ, his life at the cross, given. And a forgiveness of sins for a debt we can never pay. And you and I can be like that lady. We could say, oh, I can be the most forgiving person because of what has been done for me. And when we freely forgive, you know, it helps us heal from the sins that have been coming against us, that have come against us. When you forgive, you take the sting out of that sin that was against you. If you don't forgive, you're really a target by what just the broken world around us and all that can happen to a person. But forgiveness takes the sting away, that you don't have to be in jail anymore from the sins of others against you. You could say, wow, I practice forgiveness and that doesn't pain my soul like I thought it would. And one man said, I often practiced unforgiveness until I thought about, did anybody ever offend me like I've offended God? He said, I couldn't think of anybody. Has anybody ever offended me like I've offended God? And he said, with his help, I'll practice forgiveness. We love because he first loved us. And we forgive because he first forgave us. At the communion time, it says, do this in remembrance of me. And often at communion, there's a time to say, Lord, how am I doing with you? Please bring a new life, bring a change, bring forgiveness of sins and repentance afresh again. But when you examine yourself and you see the sins that are real, don't just look at your sin. Please look at Christ, who's greater than all your sin. And take that forgiveness for yourself. Be that set free person. And don't think, you might think of others, even those five out of the closet. Don't just think of others and say, should I? God says, I give you the ability to, the desire to. Might you see them in a different way in light of God's glory and grace? That they're in need of a change too. Huge change. Just like you. And the forgiveness of Christ can set you free and begin to see them as people in need of Christ as you are. Practice that forgiveness as you remember Jesus this morning. It'll make your Christmas season more blessed with tidings of comfort and joy. And we'll prepare our hearts for closeness with Christ at communion. Hear these words that the first words Paul said really applies to forgiveness in addition to the bread and cup. He says, for I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray together as God's people, drawing near to him. Lord, we participate in communion on the basis of simple trust in Christ. We trust you and name you in our hearts and with our mouth, with our participation as Lord and Savior. We are so delighted and blessed to do so. And thank you for inviting us to this simple meal of remembrance. We just quietly put our hearts before you this morning, ask for a fresh taste of the calmness of sin forgiven that you'd give to us and would pass on to others, maybe one step at a time. Maybe it'll take a number of just yielding to you, Lord. Sometimes this healing of forgiveness is a process. Might have to forgive for a couple months until our feelings catch up with our wills in terms of the action we take. So we silently pray and rejoice in forgiveness given. Keep us forgiven and forgiving people. Hear our prayers before you.